माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वन छारी यमुना तीर वन छारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे सचिनंदन जय निताय सचिनंदन जय निताय सचिनंदन जय निताय सचिनंदन जय जय प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभुपाद निताय गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल निताय गौर हरि बोल विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय श्री श्री निताय सचिनंदन की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Doesn't seem like this is working. No difference in the volume. Yeah? It's the same. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 7, The Sacrifice Performed by Daksha. Text 33. Patnyaha uchuhu yajnyaha ayam tava yajanaya Kena Srishtaha Vidvastaha Pashupatina Adya Daksha Kopat Tam Naha Tvam Shava Shayana Abha Shanta Medham Yajna Atman Nalina Rucha Drisha Punihi. पत्न्यः ऊचुः यज्ञोऽयं तव यज्ञाय केन सृष्टो विद्वस्तः पशुपतिनाद्य दक्षकोपात् तं नस्त्वं सवशयनाभशान्तमेधम् यज्ञात्मन्नलिनरुचादृशा पुनीः पत्न्य ऊचुः यज्ञोऽयं तव यजनाय केन सृष्टो विद्वस्तः पशुपतिनाद्य दक्षकोपात् तं नस्त्वं शवशयनाभशान्तमेधम् यज्ञात्मन्नलिनरुचादृशा पुनिः पत्न्य ऊचुः यज्ञोऽयं तव यजनाय केन सृष्टो विध्वस्तः पशुपतिनाद्य दक्षकोपात् तं नस्त्वं शवशयनाभशान्तमेधम् यज्ञात्मन्नलिनरुचादृशा पुनिः यज्ञोऽयं तव यजनाय केन सृष्टो दक्षकोपात् शयनाभशान्तमेधम् यज्ञात्मन्मलिनरुचादृशा पुनिः ऊचुः यज्ञोऽयं तव यजनाय केन सृष्टो वस्तः पशुपतिनाद्य दक्षकोपात् स्तं सवासेनाभशान्तमेधम् यज्ञात्मन्नलिनरुचादृशा पुनिः लेडीस् पत्न्य ऊचुः यज्ञोऽयं तव व्यजनाय केन सृष्टो विध्वस्तः पशुपतिनाद्य दक्षकोपात् तं नस्त्वं शयनाभशान्तमेधम् यज्ञात्मन्नलिनरुचादृशा पुनिः पत्न्य ऊचुः यज्ञोऽयं तव यजनाय केन सृष्टो विध्वस्तः पशुपतिनाद्य दक्षकोपात् तं नस्त्वं शयनाभशान्तमेधम् यज्ञात्मन्नलिनरुचादृशा पुनिः पत्न्यः ऊचुः द वाइव्स् ऑफ द एग्जीक्यूटर्स् ऑफ द सैक्रिफाइस सेड यज्ञः द सैक्रिफाइस अयम् This, tava, your, yajanaya, worshipping, kena,
by Brahma, srishtaha, arranged, vidvastaha, devastated, pashupatina, Lord, by Lord Shiva, adya, today, daksha kopat, from anger at daksha, tam, it, nah, our, tvam, you, shava, shayana, dead bodies, abha, like, shantamedham, the still sacrificial animals, yajya atman, O Lord of sacrifice, nalina, lotus, rucha, beautiful, drisha, by the vision of your eyes, punehi, sanctified. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The wives of the performers of the sacrifice said, My dear Lord, the sacrifice was arranged under the instruction of Brahma. But unfortunately, Lord Shiva, being angry at Daksha, devastated the entire scene. And because of his anger, the animals meant for sacrifice are lying dead. Therefore, the preparations of the yajna have been lost. Now, with a glance of your lotus eyes, the sanctity of the sacrificial arena may be again invoked. Purport. Animals were offered in sacrifice in order to give them renewed life. That was the purpose of having animals there. Offering an animal in sacrifice and giving him renewed life was the evidence of the strength of chanting mantras. Unfortunately, when Daksha's sacrifice was devastated by Lord Shiva, some of the animals were killed. One was killed just to replace the head of Daksha. Their bodies were lying about, and the sacrificial arena was turned into a crematorium. Thus, the real purpose of yajna was lost. Lord Vishnu, being the ultimate objective of such sacrificial ceremonies, was requested by the wives of the priests to glance over the yajna arena with his causeless mercy, so that the routine work of the yajna might be continued. The purport here is that animals should not be unnecessarily killed. They were used to prove the strength of the mantras and were to have been rejuvenated by the use of the mantras. They should not have been killed as they were by Lord Shiva to replace the head of Daksha with an animal's head. It was pleasing to see an animal sacrificed and rejuvenated, and that pleasing atmosphere had been lost. The wives of the priests requested that the animals be brought back to life by the glance of Lord Vishnu to make a pleasing yajna. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravane Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha
पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। इट्स अ ग्रेट प्लेजर फॉर मी टू बी बैक इन पर्थ। Sounds more like Partha for me, the name of Arjun. A striking similarity between the two names. Who knows, maybe it was named after Partha or Arjuna and it got changed a little bit and became Perth. Anyway, at least that's my hope and speculation. The temple room is also very nice, octagonal, the only octagonal Hare Krishna temple that I know in the world. It has its own nice vibrations, and nice to have all of you here in the morning on a weekday. The section being discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam now is a sacrifice performed by Daksha. And Lord Shiva has devastated the entire arena. And when Lord Shiva devastates something, he really devastates it. After all, he is the personality who is responsible to execute the task of destruction of the universe. Lord Brahma is entrusted with the task of creation and Lord Shiva with the task of destruction. So when he is capable of destroying the entire universe, destroying a sacrificial arena is not, as you would say here, a big deal for him. So when he does that, he does it thoroughly. So the scene of the arena was now a scene of devastation. Daksha had arranged the sacrifice for certain purposes. The demigods also are supposed to come get their share of sacrifices. And the prime beneficiary of the sacrifices is Lord Vishnu, who comes and receives his share. The purpose of performing sacrifice ultimately is to please Lord Vishnu. Yajna vai Vishnuhu. The word yajna means Vishnu, and yajna is performed to please Vishnu. So in the previous ages, of course, yajnas were of different kinds. Fire sacrifices were elaborately performed. But in this age, even though we do perform fire sacrifices, but they are rather supplementary or supportive to the main process of yajna, which is Sankirtana yajna, the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. So, in any case, at that time, this was appropriate. Yajnas were performed in a certain way. And because of some particular issue between Daksha and Lord Shiva, which we will not get into on this day, Shiva, being enraged, devastated the scene of the sacrifice. So various demigods have been praying to the Supreme Lord for his mercy. So one by one, there was Brahma, Indra, etc. And now the wives of the performers of the sacrifices are offering a prayer to the Lord. And they say that the sacrifice was actually arranged under the instruction of Brahma. But unfortunately, because Shiva was angry with Daksha, he has destroyed this sacrifice, and the animals who were intended to be sacrificed have also been killed. Therefore, the purpose of the yajna is lost. The yajna, all the efforts have been rendered futile. So please, by the glance of your lotus eyes, revive the sanctity of this place again. And as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the last line of the purport, that the wives of the priests requested that the animals be brought back to life by the glance of Lord Vishnu to make a pleasing yajna. Srila Prabhupada mentions again in the purport, the purport here is that animals should not be unnecessarily killed. So when they were quote unquote killed in the early ages in sacrifice, that was not considered killing because the animal's life was rejuvenated, was brought back to life, and sometimes given not just a youthful body, but perhaps even a higher species, perhaps even the human's birth. So such sacrificial ceremonies did not involve killing in that sense. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his pastimes in Navadvip, he started the Sankirtana movement when he was about 17 years of age. And these Sankirtan pastimes would happen in the house of Srivas Thakur. Those of you who have been to Mayapur must have also gone to Srivas Angan, the residence of Srivas Thakur. And the close associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would gather there and do Sankirtan. In those days, the state of Bengal was under Muslim rule. And each place had certain authorities appointed by the king or the ruler to oversee the revenue collection. Some others were appointed to oversee the law and order situation, etc. So when this kirtan was going on in Srivas Thakur's house, it could be heard outside as well because it was so tumultuous. So many people went and complained to the supervising authority of law and order, who was called the Qazi. The Qazi was not only a spiritual head for the Muslims, but he was also the law enforcing agent on behalf of the king. So they complained to the king about it. When the Qazi was passing by one time, he heard the Sankirtan and he was enraged. He went into the house and he broke the mridanga, the drum that the devotees were using for Sankirtan. And Srila Prabhupada explains that Chand Qazi told the devotees that thus far nobody was practicing your religion so openly, nobody was following any of the regulative principles, then how is it that you have become so bold so as to now chant in such an opprobrious manner? And by whose strength are you chanting all this? Who is giving you the power to do this? This time I'm excusing you, but if you do it the next time, then I'm going to take strict action. I will confiscate all your property, and not only that, I will make all of you Muslims. So the society in those days was very conservative, and it was said that if a Muslim merely sprinkled water on a Hindu, then he would be considered a Muslim, and he was ostracized from the Hindu community. So all the devotees also were terrified. This is how many people became Muslim, one of the ways in which they became Muslims. So anyway, so all the devotees were scared. So they approached Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu became enraged. His eyes blazed like lightning and he spoke in a voice like thunder. He says, "Let us see how this Qazi can interfere with our Sankirtan movement." So he told Nityananda Prabhu that gather all the devotees in Navadvip and let them come with a torch. A torch those days was lit with oil, you know, it was soaked with oil and then it would burn. So that would be used at night. So a large number of devotees gathered and a huge, massive procession began that stretched for as far as the eyes could see. And they were all singing kirtan, and many, many mridangas were playing, kartals were playing, devotees were dancing and singing the holy names on the streets. Immediately the news reached the Chand Qazi. He sent out his spies and they came back fearful that there was such a huge gathering never before seen in Navadvip, and they were all chanting Hari Hari. So the Chand Qazi became terrified. In a short while, the procession reached the house of Chand Qazi. And the Chand Qazi was cowering in fear inside the house. And Mahaprabhu sent a message to him. My dear uncle, why are you so afraid? Please come forward. Because the Chand Qazi had come forward in fear and said, you know, Nimai, I'm like your uncle in a village relationship. Your grandfather was very close to my father, and therefore we have a relationship of uncle and nephew. So you should not deal in this way with your uncle. So then Mahaprabhu said, my dear uncle, why are you stopping our Sankirtan Yajna? So they began a discussion. And in the course of the discussion, Mahaprabhu told him, you know, you drink the milk of the cow. So the cow is your mother. So why do you perform such a terrible sinful act of killing the cow? Is it a good thing to kill your mother? So why do you kill the cow? Do you know that the scriptures say that one who kills a cow will reside in hell for as many thousands of years as there are hairs on the body of the cow? So the Chand Qazi protested. He says, but in the Vedas also the killing of animals and sacrifice is recommended. So he had some knowledge of that. So therefore, if it's recommended in the Vedas, then what is the difficulty? What is the objection if I do the same and I kill animals? So Mahaprabhu told him, when the animals were sacrificed, according to the injunctions of the Vedas, that was not considered killing, as we read here in today's purport. Because the animals, they were brought back to life, they were rejuvenated, and they got a higher stage of life, a better station of life in the next birth. And this was also done to test the efficacy of the mantras. There were very qualified brahmanas who would chant the mantras. And when they chanted it, the animals were revived. And thus a very pleasing situation was created. So Mahaprabhu explained to him that this was actually prohibited in the current age of Kali Yuga. Ashwamedha gavalambam sanyasam palapaitrikam devarena sutotpattim kalo pancha vivarjayet. There are five things that are prohibited in Kali Yuga. The implication is that perhaps these things were permitted in earlier ages. So what are those five things? One is Ashwamedha. The Ashwamedha Yajna was the sacrifice where horses were offered in sacrifice. Ashwa means a horse. Gavalambam indicates that cows were also sacrificed. But we have to remember that these animals were brought back to life, as Mahaprabhu has explained and also as Prabhupada explains here. Therefore, they were not considered to be killed actually. Ashwamedha kavalambam sannyasam. So sannyas in those days was, in Kali Yuga, is also prohibited. But what kind of sannyas? What is called satkarma sannyas was prohibited. The type of sannyas where one took sannyas as a custom, just as a formality, as a routine. Because generally, when one reached a certain age, one took vanaprastha ashram, then when one reached another certain higher age, one took sannyas. So merely because one had attained a certain age, as a formality, one took sannyas. That kind of sannyas is prohibited today. In the earlier ages, people were qualified automatically. Because the Vedic culture was prevalent, and everyone had that training right from a young age. They had that culture, they had that adhikar or the eligibility or qualification. So when they reached a certain age, it was quite natural for them to renounce the world and take sannyas. But that qualification doesn't exist in Kali Yuga for most people. Therefore, the idea that one can take sannyas merely because one has reached a certain age or as a formality is prohibited. So this is an important point. Sometimes devotees also say, well, if sannyas is permitted, then why have so many acharyas taken sannyas, and why do we have sannyas in our movement, etc.
So here is the explanation. The sannyas that is taken in the Vaishnava community is called Tridanda sannyas. It is sannyas taken for the sake of not just strengthening one's renunciation, but also to intensify and expand one's service to the Lord, to increase one's preaching. That is the purpose. In any case, sannyas was also one of the items prohibited. Palapaitrikam indicates the offering of meat, non-vegetarian food, to the ancestors in their sacrifices. There are still some people who do that in India, but that is strictly prohibited. One has to, really speaking, offer only Krishna prasadam to the ancestors for the Shraddha ceremony, the offering of oblations to the forefathers. So that's the fourth point. And finally, devarena sutotpattim, to procreate a child through the husband of, or the brother of one's husband. And this we see, for example, in the Mahabharata, we see that when Vichitravirya died, his queens didn't have any progeny, they hadn't produced any children. So Satyavati was the mother of Vichitravirya, and she had another son through Parashar Muni, who was Vyasadev. So he was a brother, half-brother. So she invited him to procreate with the queens of Vichitravirya, because Vichitravirya had passed away and the dynastic line had to continue. So there was an Vedavyas, due to him, then Dhritarashtra, Pandu and Vidura were born. So this was permitted in the earlier ages, but that is not permitted in Kali Yuga. So in any case, Mahaprabhu cited this verse to explain how killing of animals in sacrifice, and especially the killing of cows, is prohibited. It is a gross sin. So therefore, these sacrifice is a phenomenon that is misunderstood. It was not considered killing. So here, the wives of the performers of sacrifice gather together and are pleading with the Supreme Lord to please rectify the situation. Now a very anomalous situation has been created, where a yajna was arranged, elaborate arrangements were made, and then it's all devastated. The animals who were meant to be offered in sacrifice have actually been killed now. They won't sacrifice. So this is killing. So they are asking the Lord to please revive these animals. Srila Prabhupada says the animals should not be unnecessarily killed. And because we are not qualified to perform such sacrifices in this age, no such brahmanas are available who are so pure, who are so potent, who know the mantras so properly that they don't even mispronounce one consonant of the mantras. Therefore, such things are not allowed here. So therefore, it means that we should never kill animals. So when Srila Prabhupada says we should not unnecessarily kill animals, it means in Kali Yuga we should never kill animals. Probably the only way or only time we may be permitted to kill is in self-defense, if you're going there and a tiger attacks you or something. All right, that's an extreme situation. But in general, there is no question of killing animals to satisfy the tongue, as is the prevalent practice, widely prevalent practice today in this day and age. Of course, I am encouraged to learn, as one devotee told me, that 11 or 12% of Australia, of Australians, is vegetarian. Earlier it used to be only 5%, I believe. Now it's 11 or 12%, so it's encouraging. So, but that should happen more and more and more in the rest of the world as well. By and large, the world eats all sorts of things. And there are certain countries where they just kill anything that flies, walks, you know, swims, anything is all right. So that is not the sign of an advanced civilization. There is not the sign of a culture that can foster compassion and kindness. It is not that kindness should be only upon human beings. Kindness should also be there upon all living entities. What kind of a civilization is it that inflicts so much cruelty and violence upon helpless living entities who are actually seeking our protection? It's also a kind of deception. Apart from the violence and cruelty, there are the additional sins of deceiving someone, of breach of trust, and of killing someone who is under our protection, who believes that it is under our protection, and who has faith in us, and then we betray that entity and actually kill it. The animals who are under the care of humans believe that they are under their shelter, they feel protected. And then when suddenly the animal is taken to be slaughtered, there is intense fear. And there is a betrayal of trust. So there are so many sins involved, apart from the very grossly visible sin of cruelty and violence. So this is one of the major problems of the modern day age. And Srila Prabhupada explains that it is because of such widespread slaughter of animals and also the killing of children in the womb, abortion, that today we see so much of slaughter of human beings happening. By human arrangement, sometimes by the arrangement of nature. So we may have a lot of devastation that is caused by cyclones or forest fires or earthquakes and volcanoes and other such natural disasters, floods and so on, drought. And sometimes human beings engage in wars and kill each other. Sometimes there is crime, there is terrorism. So human beings are also getting slaughtered like animals because they are killing animals in such a widespread manner. So this has to stop. Another point that is important here is that the wives of the performers of sacrifice conclude their prayer by saying, "My dear Lord, now by the glance of your lotus eyes, the sanctity of the sacrificial arena may again be invoked." That is, by reviving the animals to life, bringing them back to life again. Yes, so the glance of the Lord, very important. Yajnyatman nalina rucha drisha punihi. Nalina refers to the lotus. So Krishna's eyes and everything about Krishna is also compared to a lotus. He has lotus eyes. Rucha means beautiful. So Krishna has nalina drisha, nalina rucha drisha. He has very beautiful lotus-like eyes. And by their glance, punihi, please sanctify, please purify everything. You see, the glance of the Lord is paramount in the existence of the universe. If one studies the account of how the universe is created, as given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we will see that originally the material nature is in its dormant state. That's called Pradhana. It is only by the glance of Lord Mahavishnu that the creation is activated again. And then by the glance of the Lord, the jivas, the spirit souls, who have been residing within him in subtle form, after the previous universal destruction, now are again impregnated into that pradhan. The glance also is the time factor. So because of the agitation caused by the time factor and by the glance of the Lord, the pradhan now becomes agitated, becomes activated. It becomes mahatattva. The mahatattva further transforms. And we have this slow differentiation of the three modes of material nature, mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. Then false ego is formed. And then by the interaction of the three modes with the false ego, we have so many other elements that get formed. The subtle working senses, the knowledge acquiring senses, the sense objects, the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, the mind, etc. All these start forming. The three modes of nature also start getting differentiated properly. And at every stage of this, the glance of the Lord is essential. We can compare the process of creation of the universe to the process of cooking. At every stage, the intervention of the cook is essential. You may leave the cooking for some time, but then after that you have to intervene. Otherwise it may get overburnt or something else may happen. So similarly, the Lord's glance is required at every stage. And even after the whole universe has been created, still the Lord's glance is required upon Brahma. Brahma needs that empowerment to be able to continue on where the Supreme Lord left off. Brahma is a secondary creator of the universe. The primary creation by Mahavishnu is called Sarga. And the secondary creation by Brahma is called Visarga. So the Lord empowers Brahma to do the task of creation. And then Brahma gets all the 8.4 million species of life in the universe. And he populates the different planetary systems with all these living entities according to their karma. Then the karma, then the living entities start performing their karma. And at every stage, the glance of the Lord is required in their life. He is the witness. As the Bhagavad Gita explains, that Krishna as a super soul is witnessing every single activity of the living entity and is fulfilling the desires according to what they deserve. So the Lord is supervising the affairs of the universe directly and indirectly. And when everything is created, it is in existence, still for auspiciousness and for everything to flourish, the glance of the Lord is essential. Queen Kunti prays in the Srimad Bhagavatam some very beautiful prayers. Ime janapadaha sviddha supakkaushadhi virutaha vanadri nadyudanvanto hiyadante tava vikshitaihi. She says, my dear Krishna, simply by your glance, tava vikshitaihi, tava means your, vikshitaihi means the glance. Edante, all these things are flourishing. What's flourishing? Janapadaha, all these district areas, all these towns, all the cities, the villages, vana, the forests, atri, the hills, nadi, the rivers, the oceans, the mountains, everything, the fields, everything is prospering, everything is flourishing. The hills are giving minerals, the seas are giving pearls, the earth is giving diamonds and other precious stones, the trees are giving fruits and flowers, the soil is also producing lots of grains, food grains and vegetables. So everything is flourishing simply because of your glance. So it is the merciful glance of the Lord that is essential for all auspiciousness and even for our very existence. So the wives of these performers of the sacrifice are very well aware of this. So they are praying that the Lord will glance very mercifully upon the arena and thus remove all the inauspiciousness that has been created by all this killing that has happened here. So we can also pray similarly to the Lord to glance upon us, so that all the inauspiciousness that we have gathered in our life and all these lifetimes of existence in the material world may be destroyed. And the ultimate auspiciousness of Krishna Prema, love of Godhead, may be invoked within our heart. We can also pray to the Supreme Lord to cast His glance upon the entire world and upon at least our area of residence. We are here in Perth, so we can pray, please cast your glance, O Lord of Perth, O Lord of Partha, upon the whole of Perth, so that everything here will become auspicious and everyone here will become devotees who have taken shelter of your lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada gave unusual names to Krishna. In London, he named the deities as Londonishwar. In Paris, he named the deities as Parisishwar. So what's the problem in calling him Perthnath or Perthishwar? Partheshwar. So he's also the Lord of Perth. So if he casts his auspicious, merciful glance upon Perth, then here the preaching may flourish more and more, the devotees may flourish more and more, and all auspiciousness will be created. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes.
the movement towards vegetarianism, could that be traced back to the Hare Krishna movement? and the vegetarian restaurants, or are there many factors involved?
Could the movement towards vegetarianism in the modern day world be traced back to the Hare Krishna restaurants and Govindas and everything? Yes. Well, I guess there is something there to it. But I think it would be rather an exaggeration to say that the worldwide movement is because vegetarianism movement is because of the Hare Krishnas, at least not yet. We are not that big yet, although we're still everywhere, but it's not that big. But this is something that's coming out of modern thinking. One of the good things in modern thinking. Modern thinking has many problems also associated with it. But one of the good things is they are realizing that they should not be cruel, there should not be any violence. Animals also have rights. So in this whole campaign of going for fighting for rights, the next big thing after human rights is animal rights. So there's always some movement for standing up for the rights of people. So then now the natural result or consequence or corollary of that is now you fight for animal rights because they also have a right to live. So it's more or less coming from that trend of thinking. So which is good, we appreciate that. And we want to take them one step further. It's not just by abstaining from killing that all success will come. By abstaining from killing, what we're doing is abstaining from sinful activity and bad karma. So we're saving ourselves of unnecessary suffering in the future. But we still need that positive knowledge that can take us to actual happiness and bliss. Abstention from sin or negation of bad karma cannot lead to happiness in and of itself. It can just prevent suffering. But to go beyond negation of suffering to actual bliss and happiness, that requires Krishna consciousness. Any other question? Okay, yes.
The other question is for people to take up Krishna consciousness, like you were talking about, for instance, in Perth, for happen for people to seriously take up Krishna consciousness. Does that mean that they've come? come to a certain level of sukriti and they're ready for it, does that mean that there are there other factors that could actually awaken that desire for taking up bhakti?
Okay, so the question is that if more and more people in Perth start taking up Krishna consciousness, does it mean it's because they have that kind of sukriti or devotional piety to be able to accept Krishna consciousness, or are there other factors? Both. It is the devotional piety and also other factors, namely all of you. All of you are creating their devotional piety. Many already have devotional piety from previous lives and they need a spark to set it going. So when the devotees in Perth, all of you are actually doing that. You're going out, distributing books, talking to people about Krishna. You're even practicing Krishna consciousness in your homes and in the temple. So the vibrations are spreading. You're distributing prasadam. So in this way, devotional piety is being created in many people. And it is being strengthened and enhanced in many other people. So step by step, as and when the capital of devotional piety accumulates in different people and they continue to get opportunities to be exposed to Krishna consciousness in various ways, then someday it will click. Someday they will start taking to Krishna consciousness actively. They will feel that inspiration, that motivation to associate with devotees seriously. We never know who is at what level of devotional piety, who is at what stage of spiritual evolution. So we just go out and almost indiscriminately we give out Krishna consciousness to everyone. So yesterday we were at a program organized by Sen and Shraddha, where there were many new people who came. Perhaps many of them had never attended a program like this before. And who knows who had what kind of devotional piety. The fact that they were invited indicates that there was something. Otherwise they wouldn't be there. Perhaps some were invited and couldn't make it. So the fact that it was they who were invited and not other people indicates that there was some devotional piety there because of which they were invited. Many others in Perth were not invited. There's so many hundreds of thousands of people in Perth. Not everybody was invited. So they've got their devotional piety, a little something. Now they've come into contact with devotees. And now they'll go ahead further, make the next step. Those who are more fortunate, who have more capital, will perhaps become devotees in this life. Those who have not accumulated that capital sufficiently will need to accumulate their bank balance, their devotional bank balance a little more. And then they will come to Krishna consciousness. Some may be in this life later, some may be in the next life. So it's pretty mystical process how it happens. How people come to Krishna consciousness is something really exciting and mysterious. And in Perth, you're all part of this whole wonderful phenomenon.
Sorry, Maharaj. I'm just extending that a little bit further. In terms of our own spiritual development, you know, from Anistha to Nishta, beyond that, is that something we really have to work hard and endeavor for, or is it something which by trying to help others, you know, come to a higher level, then automatically will be pushed also to a higher level?
Okay, the question is that in our effort to make advancement from a lower level of Krishna consciousness to a higher level, is it a matter of our own personal effort to do that? Or is it also helped by helping others to come to Krishna consciousness? Yes, that's the question. Both. Trying to help others to come to Krishna consciousness is also a part of the practice of Krishna consciousness. So preaching is a part of practice. When we say that we practice Krishna consciousness, one of the elements of preaching is to practice, or rather, practice is to preach. Sometimes people ask the question, well, maybe we should start preaching only when we are pure devotees, when we are very advanced. Then we should start preaching, because then our preaching will have potency and value. Now we're just neophytes, what effect is our preaching going to have? This doubt sometimes comes into people's devotees' minds. But that is not the fact. Of course, it is true that the more advanced a devotee is, the more potent his or her preaching will be. But if one is sincere, whatever level of spiritual advancement one may be on, if one sincerely attempts to spread Krishna consciousness, uses one's intelligence, abilities, and facilities that Krishna has given, then that will also be a very integral part of that devotee's Krishna consciousness. Participating in preaching is also Shravanam and Kirtanam. And that will enable us to do our practice of Krishna consciousness better. Then we do our preaching better. That helps us to practice better. And it reinforces mutually. So everyone should participate. This is Mahaprabhu's instruction. Jari dekho tari kaho Krishna upadesh amar agyaye guru hona tar edesh. Whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. And in this way become guru and deliver the whole land. So becoming guru doesn't mean, that you have to become a very big person sitting on a big asana and all sorts of garlands around the neck and initiating thousands of disciples. And that's not the only understanding of guru. Guru means anyone who gives instruction to others about Krishna. There are Shiksha Gurus, Vartama Pradarshaka Gurus. That means gurus who give instruction, gurus who bring others to Krishna consciousness. So every one of us who has had the great fortune of coming to Krishna consciousness should also try to spread this everywhere. Then Krishna and Mahaprabhu will be pleased. Then our life will be successful. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.